Our next teaching is from our Life Recovery Conference. We have an online conference and we draw people from all over the world who participate in our Life Recovery groups. Did you know that we have over 700 groups that meet each week across the world? Isn't it amazing that so many people want to find freedom in their lives and we get to be part of it? We are grateful for that. In one of the topics, we talked about grief and loss. We all experience grief and loss throughout the year. Grief comes in many forms, and Stephanie Frazier, who's one of our network therapists and coaches, will inform us on the variety of grief that comes through other losses, the benefits, and the process. Let's listen in as Stephanie shares on grief and loss.
I want to start out my time by asking a question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? You know, this was the same question that Jesus asked a man after 38 years of being invalid and paralyzed. Can you imagine? Jesus walked up to this man and said, "Do you want to be healed?" I can only imagine what the man was thinking. Yes. But after 23 years of walking alongside hurting people, I've learned that people who walked away healed were the people who were willing to grieve their losses. That's where healing lies. So during our time today, I want to define what is grieving. We'll also cover what grieving is not by exploring five common myths and five common fears. We'll talk about the benefits and purposes of grieving. And lastly, I want to leave you with a healthy grieving checklist. By covering seven things that are a part of a healthy grieving process. So as we begin our time, if you gain the courage to heal, you gain the courage to begin to face your grief and grieving your losses, then the goal for my time has been accomplished and you win. So let's jump in. What is grieving? Grieving is the natural way we respond to loss. Experiencing its pain, honoring its meaning, and gradually finding a new way to live with it. Now that's a lot. That's a big definition. Really, grieving our losses just means facing our loss, facing them with lots of grief, with lots of grace and lots of compassion. And as we allow whatever happens as we face it to happen. You know, most people associate grieving with death. However, we now know that we can experience the loss of anything to which we are attached and is important to us. So the loss on your sheet there, the list of losses, it says losses that we may need to grieve include death, relationships, the loss of our health, childhood, loss of dreams, security. Life changes definitely register as a loss, even if they're good changes. And addiction. There's a lot of losses in addiction. So as you look at this list, what losses have you experienced? I'm going to give us a few seconds here. What I want you to do is I want you to write down all the losses that come to mind as you look at this list. Just have some courage right now and write down the losses that come up for you as you look at that list. And as we continue to move through my section and losses come up, just keep adding to your list. Because again, a big part of grieving is just facing them. So what are the purposes or benefits of grieving? Well, amazing verse, Matthew 5:4 says, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." That's a promise that when we face the grief of our losses, that God will comfort us. And he'll also use others to bring comfort to us as well. Some other benefits of grieving. It helps us accept our loss rather than deny or avoid it. It prevents long-term emotional and physical harm. We know that when we hold pain in our bodies, it harms us because we're holding in the stress hormone cortisol. Listen to how awesome God is in the way that He made our bodies to heal. Research shows there's three types of tears. One type is called emotional tears. Emotional tears are the tears that we have when we grieve or when we process pain. They've researched and they've tested these tears, and they found higher levels of protein and hormone in them, including and specifically high levels of cortisol, the stress hormone. So when you feel the grief of your loss and you let the tears come out, you're actually letting toxicity come out of your body, because that cortisol, that stress hormone, is actually coming out from your tears. So pretty amazing. We grieve our losses and God allows our body to be detoxed. We physically get healthier when we grieve those losses. Pretty amazing. It also allows us to celebrate and respect what was important within the loss. So it allows us to celebrate and respect what was important within the loss. Another benefit is it gradually restores hope. Who doesn't want hope? It restores hope, and it also brings more resilience to our lives. And lastly, it deepens empathy. It deepens our ability to walk with others in our loss. A beautiful verse in the Bible on this piece of deepening our empathy is in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our griefs, and in turn allows us to comfort those with the same comfort we have received." How cool. So when we grieve our losses, we then gain capacity to be able to sit with others and provide that safe space so they can grieve and heal as well. It deepens our relationship with God. And it also, grieving deepens our self-understanding. We get to learn more about who God made us. And that God absolutely wants us to know more about who we are and how He wants us to live out in this world. So grief truly transforms us. So with all these benefits and purposes for our grieving, what stops us from grieving? How come we don't grieve? Well, Psalm 35 there on your book says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes from the morning." You know, that weeping lasting through the night, I think, scares us. That's part of the problem. But when we face it, we get that joy in the morning. In this next section, as we go through these, I want you to take time to mark which ones you can identify with, or ones that you've experienced yourself, because this could actually be the key to getting you unstuck. I'm going to start with the five common fears, and I'm going to say each fear, and then I'm going to say the truth of that instead. And so you can write down, if you want, the truth next to the fear. All right. Again, listen and hear which ones have you maybe felt fear over, and let's let the truth set you free. If I let myself feel it, I'll never stop crying. Whew, that's a big fear. Most of my childhood, I held that one. When my dad passed when I was 4 years old due to a horrific car accident when I was 2 months old, I spent most of my childhood just working really hard to not deal with that loss. It was too painful. And so I just kept busy. But I believed this lie. I thought, if I start crying, I will never stop. And man, did it keep me stuck until I finally got help for that. So the truth is, emotions come in waves, but allowing feelings helps healing. Next, common fear. My grief will overwhelm others. I think a lot of people feel this one too. The truth is, sharing grief can actually deepen connection. It doesn't push people away. So the opposite is true. So the truth is, sharing grief can deepen connection, not push people away. If I move forward, I will forget my loved one. The truth is, healing means carrying love in new ways, not letting go. You know, the reality is, guys, is we never forget or stop loving those we lost. It doesn't happen. So we don't have to fear that one. I am not grieving the right way. The truth is, everyone's grief looks different. There's no single path. And the last fear is time alone. Time alone will heal me. The truth is, time helps, but healing often, most of the time, requires support and making meaning of our loss and our life now with the loss in it. Have you experienced any of these fears in regards to your losses? Well, may the truths of these really set you free. Now, as we go into the five common myths of grieving, again, just kind of listen and which ones maybe have you believed? Which ones have you held? Grief follows neat stages. The reality is, grief is not linear. It loops, it shifts, it surprises. The second common myth is crying is the only way to grieve. Nope. The reality is, people grieve through many expressions. Talking about their loss is powerful. Creating art, music, journaling, moving, praying, and even silence. These are all appropriate expressions of grief. There's a set timeline. Have you ever felt pressure to hurry up and be done? Well, the reality is, grief doesn't expire. Its intensity changes, but the love remains. Being strong, this one's a big one as a counselor. Being strong means hiding emotions. Nope. The reality is, true strength is being real, with what you feel. And then the last myth here is still grieving must mean that I'm stuck. Still grieving equals stuck. The reality is, ongoing waves of grief reflect ongoing love, not failure. And in fact, when we are grieving, we are no longer stuck. So, again, hearing these five myths for yourself, are there any that you believe or believed? And just mark that and reflect on that and really take in the realities and the truths of these. Okay. Lastly, how do we grieve? So, people are like, okay, I'm willing. Now, what do I do? Well, I am going to walk you through and talk about a healthy grieving checklist, little cheat sheet. And I've listed seven things there that you can look at and to determine and help you to grieve healthy. Actually, I'll start with that verse there. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." I don't know about you, but man, the times that my heart has been broken, the Lord has been the closest. I have felt him many times rescue me from a very crushed spirit. So that verse is very true, and I'm super grateful for that. All right, let's jump in. First one, acknowledge the loss. This one, we want to name what has been lost and its impact on us. Okay, so that's how we acknowledge it. We name it, and then we acknowledge what its impact has been on our lives. And even just you guys creating that list of your losses today has already allowed you to begin number one here. So good job with that. Number two, feel and express emotions. We want to allow any feelings that surface, such as sadness, anger. Sometimes we feel guilt, relief, and sometimes confusion. All of our feelings and emotions are welcome and necessary to let surface, because then we can process them and let them go. All right, seek support. You've been hearing a lot about this today. Yes, it's a necessary ingredient for healing. Seeking support. I heard this quote more recently that said, "Most people would rather grieve alone for 10 days than grieve in front of another person for 10 minutes." Oof. We don't want to seek support, and yet it's so necessary. This is a really sad fact, because, two, we need people the most when we're at our lowest. These are times when we want to lean on trusted friends, family, support groups, faith communities. Life recovery groups through New Life are fantastic to grieve your losses. I have been able to face really heavy losses in my life recovery groups, and I am so grateful for them. And also counselors, when you just don't even know which step to take and which direction to go, get a referral from New Life for a counselor. That's a beautiful place to start grieving these losses and have the safety to do so. And then also among seeking support, we need to share our story and accept comfort without judgment. One of the things Chris Williams always says is we need a benevolent or compassionate witness to our pain. This brings great healing. So, guys, there's no way around it. We need people. And I like to say we deserve people to be in our lives in this way to support and love on us. Okay, number four, honor the loss and honor ourselves. We want to honor the loss, but we also want to honor ourselves going through the loss with grace and compassion. We want to celebrate what was meaningful or special about the relationship or the experience. And so we want to honor that. We also, number five, we want to care for our body and ways that we can do that. Of course, we want to maintain sleep, rest, have good nutrition, gentle movement. We also want to use grounding techniques, prayer to calm our minds and our bodies, breathing, short walks. Quiet times with God, boy, we need that hope just being poured in from the Lord during our grieving. These are all great ways to care for our bodies. Number six, make meaning. Make meaning. What does make meaning mean? Well, reflect on lessons learned. Make meaning by really reflecting on spiritual insights, also God's presence through the loss. We also want to make meaning by finding hope and understanding in faith while integrating the grief. And we want to lean into God for hope as we grieve. We want to let God make sense of that loss for us. He's the only one that really can make sense of some of these losses that we go through. And number seven, last one, reinvest in life gradually. What does that mean? Well, it's time to allow space for joy again, relationships, and purpose while carrying the grief. To reinvest in life gradually means trusting God as you learn to live with both sorrow and love together. Now, as we finish our time together, I want you to take a minute to write down three takeaways or three nuggets that were most meaningful to you. Like, how did you just hear from God during this grieve your losses session? Three things. Write those down. Take a minute to write those down. How is God speaking to you? As you write those down and consider those three takeaways, one last thing I want you to highly consider, and that is, I want you to consider one goal, one intentional thing that you will do to grieve your losses. What does that mean? Well, think of just one thing that you will begin to do and take a step, one step. So, one intentional thing, it could look like joining a life recovery group, as I did. That was one of the best steps I've taken to grieve my losses. It could be, like I said, calling a counselor. It could be picking up the phone and calling a friend and being super honest and saying, I know I haven't shared this with you, but I think I need to. I'm really hurting over this loss. But decide today one intentional thing that you will do and write that down. It says goals written have an 80% chance higher of getting accomplished than goals just thought. So write your goal down, one intentional thing you will do to push yourself to heal.